Welcome to McGuire on the Wire, where you'll discover top stories and strategies in specialty tax broken down by our experts. You'll also meet leaders from across the firm who will discuss McGuire Sponsel's approach to common challenges faced by our clients.
Hello, Jamie Skirsten.
Hey, Tim.
It's interesting that we actually get to be on the podcast together considering we're on so many R&D calls together. There was a picture last week at our firm retreat, and just looking at that picture, 2016, I believe, was the first firm retreat, and Jamie, you were in that picture.
I was.
And then I, shortly after, joined the firm, and I was in the one in 2017, and then our firm retreat just ended up last week, and it's wild to think that I believe you were 23rd, 24th yeah. employee. I was number 27, and we had, over 100 people last week. It was pretty cool.
Yeah,
so from over four offices. So one thing that we want to talk about today and get to is the overview of the R&D team, the approach that we have to our relationship calls, our client calls. But if you could, just maybe give a little bit of a background, things that you do here from our sponsor.
Yep. I'm Jamie Skirsten. I'm a manager of our R&D tax credit practice. So like Tim said, I started here 7 years ago, was in the first 20-some of employees. Now we have a team of just R&D of probably about that many.
Yeah. When I started here, it was a small practice. Obviously, I say small practice, but it was one of our founding practices. I call SEG and R&D are the two founding practices that we have. But the really cool thing is to see not only those practices grow, but the other services that have joined the firm as well. And then just an intro to myself, my name is Tim LeMasters, and I'm the director of our Alliance Network. I get the opportunity to spend a lot of time out in the market, speaking with our Alliance partners, connecting with our clients, and just getting a real overview of what the needs are as we're in the marketplace. So I'm fortunate enough to get to bring some of those back to the firm and work with our marketing group, work with our practice lines, and just get a real good understanding of how we continue to develop, not only internally for our firm's growth, but also externally for our relationships. And first kicking this off, Jamie, something that we hear all the time is relationships above all. I've got a pretty good idea of what that means for the external portion of it and the internal portion of it, but it's interesting. I don't think I've ever asked anybody in a practice line, what does that mean to you?
Yeah, so for us, it just means we always put the client first. We like to make relationships with our clients rather than just come in, provide the service, and provide the final product and then be done. We like to really get to know the client, get to know their business, really establish a good relationship with them, especially since we'll work with them year over year. And I feel like that's something that sets our firm apart from some other firms.
I would agree with you, absolutely. It's hard because a lot of times when you go into the markets, you really don't know what firms are looking for, maybe what their past experiences are. So for us, it's really finding out those details, getting a better understanding of that early on, and then providing, because to me, how we keep that approach is obviously service is far above all, the quality of our products that are being pushed out. And then the continued education, right? Continually educating, helping support our firms from a technical resource, right? We have Dave McGuire, who's fantastic, David Seibel, who also helps in that area. And then obviously there's a plethora of other people in the firm, but it's really fun to go out and say, hey, here's some of the things that we can provide. What's the interest? And then you get all these other things that come along with it. That's how we got the global. That's how we got the location advisory services, et cetera, right?
Right.
So we get to spend a lot of time together on our R&D calls, right?
Yep.
And for those that don't know, McGuire Sponsel has a pretty unique approach to our R&D calls. And the reason why is we all know it's a very subjective area of tax law. But from just an understanding internally here at McGuire Sponsel, when we have those calls to get a qualification one, but then to figure out the quantification, we always have a relationship manager and a production person on those calls to make sure that we can navigate one, the qualification, but two, what's the personality of the client, right? Who's going to fit here at McGuire Sponsel? So maybe you could walk us through what that looks like, what the approach is, and how we get on those initial calls and go to market that way.
Yeah, so usually we get on calls with the CPA and the end client, and Tim and I and all of our other teams really get first an understanding of the client's business. So what do they do? How many people do they have? What expenses do they have? And then we give them an overview of the credit. So what do we do? What's our process? what qualifies for the credit, what doesn't. It's a conversation with the client to see how they fit in with that, how we fit with them, to really make sure that claiming the credit is something that makes sense for them and get an idea of the scope of the project. So it's really a conversation and getting to know their business and how their business operates so that we can provide the best services to them.
Yeah, a lot of these calls come about just because of our CPA relationships and bringing clients to the table. And it's always nice to see that they're always looking out for their clients, how to better their clients' taxable positions. It's one thing that we always have to figure out, right? One, where's the technical capabilities? But two, there may be those there, but is the juice worth the squeeze, right? That's the one thing that I always say is we got to make sure the juice is worth the squeeze. So those conversations are great. They're usually a great outcome. We do have clients that in the same industry, one client will qualify, one client doesn't qualify. It's wild how gray of a line it is when it comes to the R&D tax credit, right?
Right.
And we always enjoy those calls, but let's talk about the elephant in the room, right? And this year and last year has been an interesting, I would say it's been interesting just in the fact that we've had some complexities that have come the way. One being obviously 174. So it's been a little bit different because the discussions have been a little bit more challenging, explaining 174 and all the intricacies that go on there. But I think the understanding part of just what takes place, because initially, right, it was people thinking that we're going to have to amortize the credit and all these things that were flowing in and we had to calm people down. No, that's not the case.
Yes.
Help us understand and walk us through our approach on those tough discussions and what we were able to help with our clients.
Yeah, so definitely a major difficulty with Section 174 is that everybody thought it would get changed, right? So everyone had that in their mind and nobody really had an idea of what it was. And then when it came time to realize that this is not changing, then that's when we really had to kick it into gear and make sure that we were able to help our clients understand this. So really the approach that we took is we're a conservative firm by nature, but we also want to do what's best for the client. So I think our consulting skills really came in at that point because every client was different. At Section 174 affected different clients differently. The amount of expenses they had to amortize, if they had foreign expenses, like it really was a case-by-case basis. So I think it really came down to consulting with the client, their CPA, how is this going to affect their taxes, do we extend? Just a lot of back and forth conversations that I think our clients and CPAs appreciated, even though it's not definitely not the best news to present to clients or CPAs, but I think the way that we handled it made it a little bit easier for them to be able to take the next steps and understand where to go from here.
No, I couldn't agree more, Jamie. I think the really cool thing is that your team was willing to take that next step forward and offer to help with the 174 study in addition to 41, right? So I know that looking in the industry right now, and obviously CPAs are all struggling finding that middle level talent, right? So it's something that we were able to take that burden off and make sure that we could come to a final conclusion for their clients in regards to 174. So
yeah,
thinking about that too, and just looking at the next steps and how we were able to accomplish that. Obviously we handle a lot of legislative updates with email blasts, webinars, quarterly resources. When I go back to David Seibel and Tanner, obviously Tanner Niehaus and Garrett Duffy are vital for that practice as well, but going into what they do on a regular basis to make sure that we're able to continuously stay ahead of the game and keep our CPAs, not only our CPAs, but the end client, the end user, up to date. If you could, just a quick walkthrough of what Dave does behind the scenes and how he pulls people in. And obviously we have 174, you got ERTC, how all that works together. 41 and ERTC didn't play well together at some point, right? So how's Dave navigate all that? If just give an insider's view of how he's working through.
Yeah, so he has a technical team under him that helps do research and stay up to date on some of the legislative things. But he's just always keeping the team updated, always having a plan, looking forward, a vision for what we're going to do as these things develop. He's the leader of that, but like you said, we've got people under him that are doing research. They present to the team weekly on any updates, and then we're able to get with our relationship managers, make sure that gets out to the CPA, to our marketing team, and hopefully relay that in a way that's understandable to the clients and CPAs that we work with.
Great. That's awesome. Thank you. So the great thing about being on here and getting to just understand not only from an internal level, but from an external level of what makes McGuire Sponsor unique, right? And I think this is one of those things. And if I was to ask you, Jamie, what in just the R&D practice, okay, and what we how we've gone to market, what makes us unique when it comes to the R&D tax credit and how we approach it?
I think it's, again, just like the consultative nature of it is our relationships above all with our clients, like we talked about, but also being able to adapt to things like you said, ERC 174. We could just do the R&D credit and call it a day and have our CPA's clients figure all that out on their own. But just like our technical team taking the initiative to really figure those things out, we've started providing those services to our clients. And I think that's what sets us apart is we really do put the client first and we want to do whatever we can to help them.
Yeah, I think that brings us back to relationships above all, right? Is really figuring out what the necessary need is. Obviously, we could do the ostrich approach, tuck our head in the sand, and just hope that it all flies by and just everything's over. And on the back end, we're back to normal business as usual, right? But just constantly educating, constantly growing has been, I think, on our part, your team has done a fantastic job. So applaud to you, applaud to your team. It's been great. The one last thing that I'll ask you, Jamie, is why would CPAs who have used other R&D providers consider making the switch? I know it's a challenging question. I thought about it. I was sitting here thinking about it as we were getting ready to start, and I just thought to myself, I could say a lot of reasons, right? We want to say that we block and tackle better than anybody else. Obviously, we're very biased, but I think if I would give an insider view and just say, hey, here's a few things, I think the one thing that we consistently do good is service. Quality of service, timeliness, it's probably next to none. Right, I would truly believe that. Just again, I'm biased, but I truly believe that our team takes pride in what they do. We get out in the market. We want to take care of our CPAs. We have the conservative approach by nature, based on understanding that someone else is signing the returns. We also have CPAs on staff here at McGuire Sponsel. They have a really good understanding of what risks the CPAs are taking when we come to the table. So I think for us, it's just understanding that and helping navigate all the frustrations and all the complexities of the never-changing tax law.
Yeah, I would agree with that. Like we said, we have a really strong technical team, but we also have a really great consulting team. And I know we keep talking about relationships, but I really think that is, we get a lot of compliments on how our team has handled projects over the last year, the professionalism, and then just working with clients year over year, we make sure that we really build those relationships rather than just passing off projects from person to person or having new people involved. We really try to keep those relationships with the clients, and we can definitely tell that that's appreciated.
Well, Jamie, really appreciate you taking the time to join me today on the podcast. It's been a pleasure as always. If you have any other questions, please feel to reach out to Jamie or myself, or you can go to McGuireSponsel.com.
Thanks, Tim.
This has been McGuire on the Wire. Thanks so much for listening. If you enjoyed the show, be sure to subscribe wherever you listen to podcasts and follow us on social at McGuire Sponsel to get more industry news and firm updates.